الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى في سورة الرعد الله سبحانه وتعالى said الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. الله سبحانه وتعالى said those who believe, the believers, and whose hearts find rest and tranquility and peace and harmony in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do hearts find rest. Today we have a situation sometimes where you meet people, somebody will tell you, you know, you have friends who are not Muslim, and they will tell you how they went for this kind of meditation and that kind of meditation, and they do this and that, and they feel great peace, inner peace, and we feel a lot of tranquility and so on, and you should also do it. And people ask me also many times, you know, what? I'm praying, I do salah, but can I do some meditation? Because to get some peace. So I asked them, I said, what did you do just now in Salah? You wanted to do some meditation. What meditation? Just now you prayed, what did you do? This is, of course, the, you know, it's the funny part of it is there, but also if you see today in our country, our country has the largest population of gurus and godmen and godwomen who are all extremely wealthy. Yeah, they got plenty of money, unending supply of money, tax-free income, cash, no Aadhaar card, nothing is required, no bank transfer. Now, all of this shows what? It shows, most importantly, and that is why it is sad, it shows the amount of hunger there is in the population to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are people going? Why are people going to people like this and giving them money and this and that? Because they want something else. I mean, they want something in return in the sense of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we who have that thing, we let alone giving it to others, we don't seem to have it inside ourselves also. There was a very good friend of mine, very good Hindu friend of mine. I don't want to mention the name, but he passed away. So we went to, you know, pay our condolences after some time to his family. So his wife and daughter were there. They said, oh, you know, he passed away very peacefully, and there was this peaceful expression on his face and so on. Now, when I listened to that, I thought to myself, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us about the death of a disbeliever? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith, there is a set of lectures of mine called Death and Hereafter. So if you listen to that, the detailed description of that from the hadith and so on. But there's one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam which I always remember, where he said that Malakul Maut came to Ibrahim alayhi salam. He came to meet him, not to take his soul. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said to him, show me your face. What happens? Show me your face when you take the soul of a disbeliever. So Malakul Maut said, you cannot see it. You will not be able to bear it. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said, no, show me. I want to see what does a disbeliever see when you come to take his soul. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Malakul Maut said to him, look that way, and then he looked back and he lost consciousness, he fell down. So when he came to, when he regained consciousness, he said, wallahi, this one instance of looking at your face is enough as an azab for this disbeliever. He does not need anything more. That is the actual reality. Then he said, show me your face when you come to take the soul of a believer. And when he saw that, he said, Subhanallah, he said, nothing else is required. This, just looking at you like this is enough. The pleasure it gives. So these are things of the ghaib which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us and which we believe in. Take the case of Abu Talib. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting on one side of him. He is dying, last moments of his life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting on one side of him. Abu Jahl and the others are sitting on the other side of him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, simply say, قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Just say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Muhammadur Rasulullah. And I will intercede for you. I will make shafaat for you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Just simply say it. Abu Jahl and the others said, so you are now going to do this because you are afraid of death? Yeah. So Abu Talib said, I am dying on the faith of my forefathers. Right? And he died. He declared that he was dying without Islam. And he died. Later on, somebody asked Rasulullah, they said, what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do with your uncle? Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him azab. But because of how much he helped me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the least of the azab of any person in Jahannam. So they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what is the least of the azab of any person in Jahannam? Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put sandals of fire on his feet, as a result of which his brain will boil in his head like water boils in a pot. So now, on the one hand, you have somebody saying that so-and-so who was not a Muslim died very peacefully, and on the other side you have the statement of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not one but several statements with regard to the death of a disbeliever. Obviously we know which one to believe, but I'm saying that this is why we must learn our deen, and this is why we must recall and remember these things. Otherwise you get confused. Now, having said that, the fact is that people are doing meditation, people are chanting and this and that, and they claim to feel peace and harmony. So how do you explain that? How do you explain that they feel the peace? So somebody asked me this question the other day. So alhamdulillah, I said to them, what happens when you are praying, when you are doing salah? What happens? He said, all kinds of thoughts and this and that, and I can't concentrate. I said, why? He said, because shaitan. Khannas, shaitan is giving wasabis and this and that, and he's distracting me and so on. I said, why is he doing it? Why is he doing it? Why does shaitan distract you? Because he knows you are connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why does a thief come to your house? Because he thinks you have something valuable there. Why is it that the thief does not go to the house of a beggar whose house does not even have a door? It's a mud hut with some grass roof, and it has a jute hessian curtain cloth as a door. There is not even a door. He has no fear of theft. Why? Because he has nothing there to steal. But you have a house and you have a electric fence around it and so on and so forth. Why? Because you believe you have something to, there's something valuable there. So why is this shaitan doing this? Because you have something valuable. Now for someone who does not have that, how does he feel peace? Because shaitan leaves him alone. Shaitan does not go to him. When he is sitting in meditation, shaitan makes sure that there is no distraction for him. Because he is concentrating on Ghairullah. So shaitan does not go near him. So he feels peace. Shaitan, you don't feel peace because shaitan comes to you. Now, take the issue of peace. For example, somebody who is listening to music which he is in sync with, does he feel peace? Of course. Someone who is drinking alcohol, does he feel peace? Of course. Someone who is taking a drug, is he enjoying himself? Does he feel peace? Of course. If they did not feel peace, If they did not enjoy themselves, they would not be doing it. I mean, every time the fellow had a drink, if he had, you know, terrible, God knows whatever, you know, pain in his stomach or something, he would stop drinking. But he does not, all that doesn't happen. He has a very nice time. I mean, he gets a hangover later on, but when he is drinking, that alcohol in his body gives him a high, gives him peace, he feels very nice, he feels very high, he feels bigger than what he is, and so on and so forth. And he takes drugs and he feels alive and God knows what. I mean, I have alhamdulillah, I don't have any personal experience with this. I'm just saying that the reason is that people do these things because they find peace, they find something good in it. But is it good? I mean, that's a dumb question. We all know it. Even the people who are drinking and they so on, they also know it's not good. But they're doing it. Another example. Issue of this whole issue of feeling inner something, something. If you go to a movie, like the other day I said, I also gave the example in another context. You go to a movie, you are engrossed in this movie, you got this phenomenal, fantastic acting. Now, if they apply sensors to your body, your blood pressure is going up, your brain activity is at a high and so on. If there is a tragic scene, you are feeling tragedy, you are feeling sad, you are crying. If there is a funny scene, you are very happy, you are laughing. If there is a scene of danger and so on, you want to say, hey, look, 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 look. You are so completely engrossed in that, you feel the danger and so on from the scene. You know perfectly well all of this is acting. There is no tragedy, there is no comedy, there is no danger, there is no happiness, there is no sadness, there is no grief, nothing. It's all acting. You know this intellectually, we all know this. Every single person sitting in the cinema, if you ask him, is it really happening? He'll say, hey, what the hell? I mean, this is acting. The actor is called an actor. Yet, that experience, that false experience, is so real that it actually has an effect. It has a physical, measurable effect on the body. So the whole issue of something not being real is not, it's not the question of saying it is not real. It is real in a different way. Right? But what is the reality? It is not real. So just because somebody is feeling this inner, this and that and the other, is like sitting in a movie hall. It doesn't mean anything. And what actually means something is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Ala bi dhikri lahi tatma'innul qulub. The only place where there is itminar of the qalb, where there is peace of mind, where there is tranquility, where there is harmony, is in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. And that is why it is very, very important for us to remember this and not get confused unnecessarily and start feeling lack of confidence in what we have, but to focus on what we have. And our meditation is salah. Number one so-called meditation, if you want to use the term, for us is salah. And then of course after salah, it is any form of dhikr, whether you are reading Quran, whether you are making dhikr of any other kind, durood and so on and so forth, all of this is our meditation. And like they do for the other meditation, think about how do they do meditation. When you do pranayam, for example, what do? You are focusing on the breathing. You are breathing in through one nostril, you are breathing out through another nostril. They tell you should feel the coolness of the air going into your nostril and so on and so forth. And then they say concentrate, in yoga they say ishta devata. Concentrate on the particular God that you love. So ishta devata, concentrate on. Now point is that even though all that is imaginary, they are spending that much of time and energy and concentration on doing something with concentration. Right, I mean, they're not just going through the motions that hold this, no. Do it with concentration. And that is a very important thing for us to remember, that as far as our salah and so on is concerned, the reason why we pray and then, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, Ustaz will give us the reward for salah. And if you are not praying, that's a very major issue. But the actual physical and internal peace and harmony, this will come when we spend some time on this thing and if we concentrate and so on. And that's why I say the our tragedy is that it's not that those people who are not Muslim, that they feel this illusory peace. Our tragedy is that we don't feel the real peace, which is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us with. And that is the reason why we need to make ourselves focus on this and make ourselves able to feel that peace, right? Not just sit in some shaitan-induced haze of so-called peace, but real peace when we are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the slave is closest to his Rabb when he is in sujood. Alhamdulillah. In two rakat of salat, you are doing it four times. Yeah, sajda. So, if we concentrate on this, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this. And as far as anybody asks you this question about peace and so on and so forth, you can answer them and tell them this is why. You get peace. Ask yourself, who is the one who will disturb you when you are on the right path? And who is the one who will help you when you are on the wrong path? And you get the answer for this very simple question. So if the shaitan is disturbing you and so on and so forth, that is one guarantee that what you are doing is right. If what you were doing was wrong, then you would not get any disturbance, no wasabis. You will be at total concentration, right? But if what you are doing is right, then you will get wasabi. So nothing to get discouraged about, nothing to feel bad about. Alhamdulillah, this is a good sign. It means that you have something which shaitan is getting worried about. He doesn't want you to have that, so he is disturbing you. So nothing to worry about. Alhamdulillah, read Khulas bin Nas, say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to see his slaves making an effort to connect with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can decree and one shot and shaitan will never touch you again. But what's the point? Because you are getting sawab for the struggle. The more you struggle, the more reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give you. So no problem, keep struggling. Don't leave it. That is very important. Don't leave it. You continue to struggle. Say, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me this thing and I have to. This problem is coming because there is a benefit in this. If there was no benefit, problem would not come. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us focused on inshallah on Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, and for Him to, for our hearts to be filled with the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.